spend time in the Word of God, in the ministry of Jesus, and try to capture something of not just the teaching of Jesus, but the way of Jesus. And so I decided to tackle a really difficult passage. It's what we call the Sermon on the Plain. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes and those things in Matthew 5 through 7. Well, Luke has his version of the Sermon on the Mount, which has a lot of similarities but also a lot of differences, and we call that the Sermon on the Plain. And you'll see why as we read the first verse of Luke 6, verses 17 to 26. Luke 6, verse 17. He went down with them and stood on a level place, a plain. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. What a pitiful scene, really. People so destitute and so desperate that they throw off every social grace when they see Jesus. No manners, no taking turns. They see Jesus and they lunge toward him. Sick, they know that Jesus can make them whole. Possessed by demons, they know that Jesus can set them free. And that's all they care about. They just want to touch him. If we can just touch him, they reason, power will come from him and we will be whole. Pitiful is one word to use, but it is not Jesus' word. Jesus' word this morning is blessed, blessed. You people who are poor, you people who are hungry, you people who are brokenhearted, who are hated by others, you are blessed, Jesus says. Indeed, after Luke has described this scene of people clutching Jesus, he reports these four blessings of Jesus. And then the four woes. Woe to the rich, the filled, the laughing, the popular. Now, this is not an easy passage to understand. And in my sermon title, I've already suggested that a helpful way to think about the two groups of people that Jesus is talking about today is in terms of the weak and the strong. To be more precise, I think that Jesus is talking in our text today about people who know they need him and people who think they don't. That is a line between people that Jesus draws throughout his earthly ministry. What is blessed about the first group of people Jesus describes is not merely that they are poor or hungry or brokenhearted or rejected, but that in their need, in their weakness, they see Jesus. They see their need of a Savior. And they come into life with God. And what is so dreadful about the second group of people Jesus describes is not so much that they have money or that they are not hungry or that they laugh a lot or that they are popular, but that in their strength, they see no need of Jesus. They do not see Jesus. They believe they are self-sufficient. So the first point to be made this morning, I think, as we seek to understand this teaching of Jesus today, is that the weakness that Jesus is blessing here is that weakness that leads folks to see Christ. And that the strength that Jesus is condemning here is the strength that blinds people into thinking they do not need Christ. The second point to be made regards the remedy that Jesus declares. What happens to each of these groups of people? It's obvious that there's a parallel between the four blessings of verses 20 to 23 and the four woes of verses 24 to 26. Blessed are you who are poor, woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are hungry now, woe to you who are fed now. Blessed are you who weep now, woe to you who laugh now. Blessed are you when men hate you, woe to you when all men speak well of you. At first glance, it seems like Jesus is simply saying that someday the tables will be reversed. The weak will become strong and the strong will become weak. But that's not what Jesus is saying. The only one of these four in which there's an exact reversal is one where those who weep now will laugh and those who laugh now will weep. But properly understood, the future laughter of the weak is different than the present laughter of the strong. So this is not Jesus, the great social engineer, saying that one day all people will end up with about the same amount of everything. No. The remedy is not that the weak will become strong and the strong will become weak. The remedy is, first, for the weak. The weak will receive the kingdom. They will receive God. Blessed are you who are poor, for you will become rich. No, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, for you will be well fed. No, for you will be satisfied. You may not eat steak and lobster, but you'll be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Now, this is the one that's the same, but this is not the laughter of the strong. It is the joy of those who sit at banquet with Christ. Blessed are you when people hate you, for everyone will one day love you. Don't count on it. No, for great is your reward in heaven. The remedy for the weak is not that they become strong. It's that they inherit the kingdom of God. And the remedy for the strong is that they become weak, or more precisely, that they come to realize they are weak. The illusion of self-sufficiency does not last forever. At some point, Paul says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not me. For those who have been able to mask their need by their riches, their food, their pleasure, their popularity, sooner or later, the mask comes off. You stand naked, face to face, before Christ. Well, that, I think, is the teaching of this passage. I have to leave us with two words, two thoughts that I think about this passage as I think about us, me, today, here in North America, in Grand Haven. First, and perhaps most obviously, Jesus says to us today in this affluent culture of ours, beware of the spiritual power of wealth and pleasure and popularity to mask our need. I think it's accurate to reduce these three woes of Jesus to those three things: wealth, pleasure, that is, the good life as an end in itself, and popularity, being liked as a kind of end in itself. These three things, Jesus says, are the recipe for losing touch with who you are and who Christ is. One of the reasons for that we've already seen. These things make us think that we are self-sufficient. Another reason is that these are addictive. These things are among what the church over the centuries has called the sins of the appetites. Here our true longing for God gets hijacked. All of a sudden we find ourselves longing, but now not longing for God, but longing for these other things. But the problem with the sins of the appetites is we never get enough. When someone's money has become his God, he can never get enough of it. He always wants more. With pleasure, you can never get enough of it. You just keep moving the bar. You want bigger stereo speakers or faster boats. So with popularity, you get addicted to the praise of others, but that's a perilous way because you never get enough. One of the reasons this is true is that the only thing that can really satisfy our deepest longings, which are our longings for God, is God-shaped. That hole in our heart, that longing, is a God-shaped hole that ultimately only God can fill. Beware of the spiritual power of wealth and pleasure and popularity to mask our need and take captive all of our longings and appetites for God, but then leave us hungry and empty and unfilled. The good news of the gospel is that Christ and his kingdom curb and redirect these appetites. Notice that second blessing. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Satisfied, not bloated, not happy as a pig in the mud, just satisfied. In Christ, we can be content, at rest. Focusing on Christ and His kingdom has a way of helping us keep all this other stuff in proportion. It has a way of helping us see the true geometry of the universe. What's big, what's small, what's important, what's not. We keep things in their place better. The word of the Lord to us in North America is, beware of the spiritual power of wealth, pleasure, and popularity to mask our need, and then to become the end of life, the treadmill that keeps getting steeper and faster, that for which we live, rather than the end of life, being something bigger, the kingdom of God. The second word that is laced through everything I've said this morning, but now I want to make explicit, is there are no strong. There are only weak. Oh, to be sure, Jesus talks about the rich, the filled, the laughing, the in crowd, and they appear to be strong. And to be sure, when you are that skinny sixth grader and you see all those popular rich kids with beautiful clothes and hair and perfect teeth and a clear face, you cry out inside, they are the strong. And yes, Jesus can even fool, people can even fool themselves for a while into thinking they are strong. But there are no strong. We are all weak. Deep down, we all have the same fears, the same hopes, the same hurts, the same dreams. What unites us in our need, hear this Church of Jesus Christ, hear this North American culture, what unites us in our need is far greater than what divides us in our circumstances, our appearances, and our points of view. What unites us in our weakness is far greater than what divides us in our apparent strengths. As we watch the atrocities unfold in Ukraine today, we can only dream about how different the world would be if all leaders, Putin, Biden, Kim Jong of North Korea, Xi Jinping of China, Nancy Pelosi, Ted Cruz, if all of them could say, yes, we are weak. We want to appear strong only because we are weak and we are afraid. Jesus calls all of us today to Him. To the weak here today, He says, blessed are you. I know life is difficult, especially when you are surrounded by so many who are apparently so strong. Just keep looking at me. Keep focused, not on what you don't have compared to others. Just keep focused on me. And to the apparent strong here today, Christ says, you must let go. You must face the truth of the matter. Let go of your quest for your own glory, your quest to gratify your own desires in ways that always end up being dead ends and counterfeits. You must leave it all behind and follow me. And then you will be freed from the enslaving power of those pursuits. And as you let go of your hold on those things and give yourselves over to me, Jesus says, those things will lose their hold on you. You will own them instead of them owning you. Truly, at the end of the day, every one of God's children sings that gospel song. And I'll sing it now. Not. I am weak and I need your strength and power to endure with grace my weakest hour. Help me through the darkness your face to see. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me.